You're listening to the Afternoon Magazine on WILL. I'm Chris Berube. On Tuesday, we spoke to Lynn Sweet, the Washington bureau chief of the Chicago Sun-Times, about the political fallout from the sequester, the $85 billion in automatic cuts that will start taking effect tomorrow if there's no deal cut in Washington tonight. Well, having talked about the political aspects, I thought it would be time to also look at the economic impact of the sequester. How bad is this actually going to be? There's a growing minority in Washington who think that the sequester cuts really aren't that bad. The size of the federal government, they argue, is already too large, and we might as well just pull off the bandage now and make these cuts all at once. Joining us now to talk about the actual economic impact of the sequester is Dr. Elizabeth Powers. She teaches economics at the University of Illinois. So what's your verdict as an economist? Is the sky falling?
I think it's difficult to think that the impact of the cuts is going to be minimal. I think it'll be kind of shocking to many groups that rely on federal funding for their programs. The overall sequester, it's true, it maybe sounds kind of modest. We're going to cut 5% in non-defense programs and 8% in defense programs. But, no cutting's been done to this point, basically. And so all the cuts have to be crammed into the rest of the year's budget. So that means that you're really talking about 9%, more on the magnitude of 9% in non-defense areas and 13% in defense areas. So once these all get placed on all these programs, they're scrambling to make to reach this level of cuts by the end of their federal fiscal year, I think you're going to see a lot of pretty noticeable changes.
So they say it's going to be 5%, but it's likely going to be closer to 9. Why is that exactly? How does that work?
Well, the federal fiscal year has been going on since October 1st, and it's just been going on under the premise that there wouldn't be the sequester, and so groups have not been, they didn't start the federal fiscal year thinking we're going to have to set 5% to 8% of our total federal funding aside, right, that we that's going to disappear. They've been proceeding with the programs as they normally run, and now here it is the end of February, and looks like next month they're going to have to start trying to find this 5% and 8% of their total programs. They're going to find it over the remainder of the fiscal year.
So let's talk about some of those cuts specifically and how they impact Illinois. What do you think are maybe the most significant issues that are going to be coming to the state?
Because it's across the board, it touches a lot of areas. Some areas that people might hear a lot about are education. We're going to lose about $33 million estimated funding for primary and secondary education. There'll be schools that all see cuts in funding, for example, for extra aides and staff in areas with higher need kids. In programs that serve children with disabilities, for example, there's federal funding in those programs, and those types of programs are going to face serious cuts. There are federal grants, for example, for first responders, for training for first responders. Those are going to get cut out. There are federal work study slots, money for work study for college students. Those are going to get cut, maybe around 3,200 fewer lower-income students in Illinois are going to receive federal aid, and about 2,600 is estimated won't be getting work-study jobs that help them pay for college. The cuts are going to affect families and people you know.
Now, a number of economists have raised the issue of specifically entitlement spending as being something that has to be addressed in the next couple of years. And some people who are, I don't think there are any sequester advocates necessarily, but there are some people who've kind of quietly said, well, cuts like this may have to happen eventually anyway, so why not rip off the bandage? As an economist, why do you think it's bad, or is it okay to rip off the bandage right now?
I have issues with both the magnitude and the timing. We're pretty fragile here. The recovery has been very frustrating. It's been very slow. Conservative estimates of the impact of the sequester is, it's going to take 0.5% off GDP growth for the year. That's a serious blow to growth. So I question the timing of this, doing this when the economy is in a pretty fragile condition. the sequester reaches to 2021. So, you know, and in fact, the cuts, they kind of mount over time. If we stick with the sequester, we're really kind of embarking on an unprecedented experiment in shrinking government consumption. And a lot of people aren't aware of this, I think, because there's so much talk about, you know, how large the government is and this kind of stuff. The federal government spending, it's about a quarter of GDP at this point. Historically, over the past 40 years, it's been at around 21%. So, you know, we're not really that far away from kind of our average level. There are a number of programs that are under special rules, and they're exempt, basically, from the sequester. So, you know, you hear people talk about the Social Security system perhaps being a driver of budget deficits, but Social Security benefits are entirely exempt from the sequester, for example. Welfare programs and refundable tax credits are exempt. The Medicare sequester can't exceed more than 2%, so it's under special rule too. So, I mean, in terms of, you know, the kind of the bugaboos that people always point to as the programs that might be the problem drivers of long-term budget deficits, you know, the sequester doesn't touch them, many of them. The real long-term driver of budget deficits that I think we should be really concerned about are medical costs, right, Medicare and Medicaid, which are both exempt from the sequester. You know, there to control those costs, you know, we've got healthcare reform coming along, and you know, hopefully, we will arrive at really long-term systemic approaches to containing those costs. Right? Just saying you're going to cut those types of programs, that you have targets for growth for those types of programs. You know, we've demonstrated over time that as a policy matter, we've had very little control over the growth of healthcare costs. You know, there's very little we've deliberately done where we can show that we contained healthcare costs. That's a big driver of deficits. That's a big problem. It's a complex policy area. And again, you know, just saying you're going to cut stuff isn't likely to be a really successful approach.
Professor Elizabeth Powers, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Oh, you're welcome. My pleasure.
Elizabeth Powers teaches economics at the University of Illinois. To read all of our sequester coverage online, visit us at will.illinois.edu. You're listening to The Afternoon Magazine on WILL.